Hi, I'm Yusuf Zine. My latest TVO Today podcast is on how a Canadian ends up in a Chinese prison and if he's even alive. Listen and subscribe to Extradition. Available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Help TVO create a better world through the power of learning. Visit TVO.org and make a tax-deductible donation today.
Dive! Dive! Now we enter into the motor room.
Memories come flooding back for Jerry Brown every time he steps foot on HMCS Ojibwa.
The electricians would call the heart of the submarine.
He served on the Cold War era submarine between 1976 and 1978 as a storesman.
I was responsible for ordering all the supplies for the boat maintenance. Supplies, that is, and spare parts, stuff like that.
Now retired, Jerry guides tours for submarine enthusiasts. Being a submariner is not for everyone, particularly those who have a fear of tight spaces.
And here was the captain's cabin, very small. I can all sit in here, and this is as if he was sitting at his and having his supper or his office would be the same thing. This is his table, and he actually even had his own sink.
How tall was he?
We had one captain here that was 6'7". He used to get dressed out here for some reason.
From the bow to the stern, every inch of the submarine is fitted with gauges, knobs, and handles.
Now we're in the forward accommodation space. In here, we had 15 bunks in this compartment, this section of the compartment, and bunks are 6 foot long, so anybody that was taller, you learn to sort of sleep in the fetal position.
HMCS Ojibwa stretches 90 meters long and 5 stories high. At the bow of the sub, you have the torpedo room. And as you travel toward the stern of the ship, you pass through the accommodation quarters, the control room, also known as the brains of the operation, followed by the engine room and motor room. At full capacity, HMCS Ojibwa could carry a crew of 67 submariners. HMCS Ojibwa was one of 3 Oberon-class submarines operated by the Royal Canadian Navy during the Cold War.
HMCS Ojibwa is an Oberon-class diesel-electric submarine. The Oberons were a British-built submarine, so everyone subsequently names their boat starting with the letter O, so we named them after 3 of the indigenous nations of the country. Okanagan, the Onondaga, and the Ojibwe, although since most people pronounce the vessel as Ojibwa, we say Ojibwe are the people. Ojibwa is the vessel.
The sub was considered technologically advanced for its time, and also one of the quietest, making it difficult to detect and excellent for covert operations collecting audio and visual intelligence in hostile waters.
We can disappear, for one thing. We're under the water, very hard to find. Being a diesel-electric submarine, they're very, very quiet, not like a nuclear that is pretty loud when it's underwater compared to us. And so our stealth capabilities were a lot more.
The particular build was designed for stealth, and they were very successful at it. They were considered the quietest boats of their era, and a lot of people, particularly from foreign navies, would say if an Oberon didn't want to get found, you could not find it.
The underwater warship went into service in 1965 and was decommissioned in 1998. And just over a decade later, the Ojibwa was slated to become scrap metal. That's when the Elgin Military Museum came calling.
The Elgin Regiment, which is a significant part of the Elgin Military Museum, was an armored regiment during the Second World War, and we were looking for a gate guard vehicle, essentially a tank. When we called National Defense, we were informed that they didn't have any tanks, but how would we like 27 tanks? And when we inquired, because we didn't want a whole squadron of tanks, we were informed, well, ballast tanks, water tanks, fuel tanks. And one thing led to another, and here's a submarine.
The privately owned Elgin Military Museum, located in St. Thomas, Ontario, stepped up to save the submarine and gave it a second life as a tourist attraction. but the museum needed a special location to house the gigantic vessel. Port Burwell in the municipality of Bayham, situated on the north shore of Lake Erie and at the mouth of Big Otter Creek, was chosen as the final resting place.
We were restricted to Elgin County, which was either Port Stanley or Port Burwell. And so we came to Port Burwell, and I think it's been an asset to the community.
In 2012, the submarine was towed from the east coast of Canada through the St. Lawrence Seaway and Welland Canal before arriving in Port Burwell. While the submarine was donated, the nearly 2,000-kilometer trek cost $6 million. For over a decade, visitors from around the world have been visiting Port Burwell to see the Wartime Museum.
They have come from all over, and in fact, in the first year of operation, we had a call for a gentleman wanting to book a tour, and I asked him where he was calling from, and he said Moscow. And there was about 10 seconds of silence, and he said, yes, that Moscow. His son was doing a doctorate at Western University, and he heard about the submarine and was coming to see his son and wanted to see the submarine.
According to Ian, the attraction has been such a draw that they've overbooked tours last season. The museum has not one, but two maps for guests to mark the location they're visiting from.
We're actually on the second version of the map now because we couldn't fit any more pins into Europe. When we started the new map, on the old map, we had never had anyone from Iceland. The first day we started the new map, we had somebody who was there from Iceland.
It's also been a place to reminisce with former submariners.
And that's where the torpedoes go. Also used sometimes for beer storage. I am a member of the Submarine Association of Canada. That's one of how we ended up here, because we support the submarine. It's good to see, you know, some of the guys you never sailed with, but you are a submariner. Once you're a submariner, you're always a submariner. Another term that some use is called squid, submarine qualified until I die.
There are many submariners who, a remarkable number who live in the area, who do come down, and some of them obviously have quite an attachment to the boat. There's one in particular who will get up and go for a drive from Barrie and arrive here at the submarine. And there have been days where he's arrived and his phone has rung, and I've heard his wife say, "Oh, I bet you're at the submarine."
For all the excitement surrounding the submarine, HMCS Ojibwa has been shrouded in local controversy. Remember that $6 million price tag to bring the vessel over? Well, the museum took out a loan to pay for it, and the municipality of Bayham secured the loan. In 2015, the museum ended up defaulting on the loan, leaving the city on the hook.
Like almost every municipality in Ontario, after COVID and this inflationary period and rising costs and limited or reduced transfers from upper tiers of government, we're all struggling to balance budgets and to keep property taxes in line and still try to meet the needs of quality of life issues for our community. So it's a challenge to do that. In addition, which is unique to our municipality, that we carry that legacy debt that is chewing up most of our discretionary budget.
Bayham Councillor Timothy Emerson estimates the city pays just over $300,000 annually, about two-thirds of its discretionary budget, towards the loan. The payments have brought into question the future of an important local landmark. Port Burwell's lighthouse was constructed in 1840 and used to navigate commercial lumber ships. It's one of the oldest wooden lighthouses in Canada, but was closed down in 2023 because of structural issues.
There is some issues with the integrity of the building, and it is in a state of continuing decay and needs to be addressed in the near future. Or shipping, that was an important landmark, an important economic anchor for the area. And it's an important historical landmark, I think, because it signals the development in the industry right back to pioneer days when they used to cut red pine masts for the British Navy. This was the source of them. Right, this town we're in right now was a sawmill. There was a mule train to Port Burwell. So, like, in my opinion, the lighthouse anchors us to our past so we know where we're going in the future.
It will cost the cash-strapped municipality an estimated $1.5 million to repair, but Councillor Emerson is hoping to raise some of the money.
Elections coming up, and there may be rounds of grants or loans that are accessible for stuff, but we have to be shovel-ready, so that means engineering. So last year, we took money that was in a dredging reserve, and we slid that into a lighthouse reserve. That's approximately $65,000. We were told that it would take about $90,000 worth of engineering to make that shovel ready. So for me, the priority is like the first step to be able to grab any grants or funding that's available is to have that extra $36,000 so that we can get the engineering done.
There will be about $4 million left on the submarine loan when it comes up for renewal next year.
March of 2025, the loan is up for renewal for the submarine, and it won't be at 2.5% or whatever it is right now. It'll be double. In the last term and the term before for council, which I wasn't a part of, it's been priority to put enough in reserves to pay off that sub loan when it matures.
As a longtime resident, he admits he was never a fan of HMCS Ojibwa coming to Port Burwell in the first place, but understands that decision is in the past.
At some point in the future, we have to put differences aside and see how we can work together to build it so that we drive industry and money towards our community. And someday we'll get past all of this and it'll be a story we tell over a beer. Remember that crazy time, right? But at the moment, it's difficult. But I think if we put our heads down and try to come together as a fundraising entity and work together with all levels of government, we can overcome this, and then it will be a beacon for the municipality.
The Agenda with Steve Paikin is made possible through generous philanthropic contributions from viewers like you. Thank you for supporting TVO's journalism.